do have a number of visitors out tonight, and we want you to know that we are delighted that you are here to study with us from the Word of God. And also, as I look out, we do have a number of people who maybe have been sick or had some surgeries of some sort, and it's great to see you here as well. I know we do have a number who are not out tonight, whether it be to sickness or their health-related issues, and so let's continue to remember all of that number in our prayers. But if you would, please take out your Bibles, and let's study from the Word of God. If you want to, go ahead and place a marker in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6 is where we will be spending a majority of our time this evening, so if you have a marker there, that would be greatly appreciated, as that's where we will be. I saw a commercial recently on television, and there was a boyfriend and a girlfriend in the front seat of a car, and the boyfriend looks to the significant other, and he says, "What do you want for dinner?" And some of you are smiling. You already know where this is going. And the girlfriend says, "Oh, I don't care. You pick." And so the guy, you see him pulling into the Taco Bell parking lot, and the girlfriend just looks at him and says, "No, not Taco Bell." And he looks at her and he says, "I thought you said that you didn't care." And she's like, "I don't, but just not Taco Bell." And so then he parks the car in the parking lot and he says, "Well, then where do you want to go?" And she's like, "I don't care." He says, "Well, then I'm going to pick and we're going to go there." And she's like, "That's fine." And he starts driving and they pull into, I think it's a Wendy's. And she's like, "But not Wendy's." And it just continues to go on. And that's one instance that I think probably some here can relate to in some form or fashion. But we just wish someone would tell us exactly what's on their mind. That they would tell us exactly what they want. Or maybe we just want someone to tell us how they feel. What's going on in your mind? But you know, maybe we feel that we just want someone to tell us how we need to live our life. And thankfully, the Word of God tells us that. In 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, it says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." The Word of God tells us how we are to live our life. It comes out and it tells us what we need to do. And thank God that His Word gives us direction and purpose in our life. If you're ever finding yourself scratching your head, how am I supposed to live my life? What am I supposed to be doing? God's Word has the answer. And it always has. Even when there was not a complete Bible, in the old law, in the Old Testament, God's Word was available to the people. They knew how they were supposed to live. And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, how to live. How am I supposed to live my life? But we're going to be using Jeremiah chapter 6 as our main text. Because Jeremiah will come to the people in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, and he's going to tell them, "Thus says the Lord, this is how you live. This is how you need to be living your life." But a theme that happens throughout the minor prophets, throughout the major prophets, and throughout the book of Jeremiah, a reoccurring problem is that the people don't listen. And so despite Jeremiah making these efforts to try and tell them how to live, they're not going to listen. And before we jump into Jeremiah 6 and verse 16 and get in this lesson, and I know sometimes we're so anxious about knowing what's going to come next on the PowerPoint or looking ahead on the sheet, bear with me for a second. Because you know, on those surveys that everyone filled out, and for those of you who maybe haven't turned it in yet, that's okay. I'm still collecting those. If you haven't turned one in yet, I'll forgive you on that. But almost every single person, I'm not exaggerating, I think it was 22 out of 24 people said books of the Bible that you are least familiar with was the prophets or the minor prophets. So when we want to go over the background of Jeremiah chapter 6, I think a majority of us might admit, I'm not the most familiar with this book of what's going on. So bear with me as we go over the context of Jeremiah chapter 6 and really this whole book as a whole. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 1 is a great place to begin, to get the gist of what's happening in this chapter. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 1, it starts out. It's a clear warning of what's happening. Flee for safety. O people of Benjamin, from the midst of Jerusalem, blow the trumpet, raise a signal, for disaster looms out of the north and great destruction. The warning is supposed to go out. Raise a signal. Let everyone know destruction is coming. If you want to know what the prophets are mainly about, this is it right here. A message that you're going to die, you're going to be carried off into captivity if you do not repent. And so this is the main thrust of Jeremiah's message throughout the book is, hey, listen up, people. I'm sounding an alarm from God. And if you don't repent, if you don't turn, you're going to be carried off. And it's very specific in that verse. It tells us where the disaster, where the enemy is coming from. That great destruction, it tells us it's coming from the north. And so who is that enemy that's coming from the north? Well, that is the Babylonians. The Babylonians are coming. This is the time period of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesies from the years 620 to around 575 BC. And that is right as the Babylonians are coming to power, as Daniel prophesied, and they are going to wipe out the people of God. And a significant event that happens during the time of the book of Jeremiah, and the book of Jeremiah gives us great insight to this from Jeremiah really 36 to 45, is the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. In the year 587, the temple is destroyed. The Babylonians come into Jerusalem, they burn the city down, and they destroy the temple. And these exact messages, like Jeremiah chapter 6 that we're going to be talking about tonight, this is what Jeremiah has been preaching about. For over 30 years to this people, you stubborn people, repent, or else this disaster is going to strike. And so that's really what is happening in Jeremiah chapter 6. He's going to be beating this whole drum throughout the book of Jeremiah that you need to repent. And so keep that in mind as we are talking about Jeremiah chapter 6. But again, the problem with these people throughout the prophets, and I say these people, but you know what? The same problems exist today. We have a lot of the same problems as the people during the minor prophets. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 10, Jeremiah says, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ears are uncircumcised," or "their ears are closed. They cannot listen. Behold, the word of the Lord is to them an object of scorn. They take no pleasure in it." And this is the irony of the situation at hand. God's word is what to them? Well, God's word is what is going to be able to save them. If they would repent and turn to the Lord, they'll be saved. But yet, since the people don't listen, Jeremiah is saying, who can I speak this message to? The people aren't going to listen. The very message that should be saving them is going to be the object of their hatred. It is going to bring about the destruction on them. And again, how true is that of the world today? That the Word of God is able to save us and make us complete, and yet how many people will turn their backs against it? But the sins of the people are grievous. They are widespread. Jeremiah 6, 13 through 15, look at this graphic picture of the sin of the people. From the least to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for unjust gain, and from prophet to priest, everyone deals falsely. They have healed the wound of my people lightly, saying, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush, therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time that I punish them, they shall be overthrown, says the Lord. Again, this is the people that Jeremiah is preaching to in his ministry. Again, for over 30 years. People that are callous to sin around them. They don't see the state of their sins in their relationship with God, that God is turning his back against them. And if you don't turn back to God, you're going to be destroyed from the enemy from the north, the Babylonians. And so that is the context regarding the book of Jeremiah, but specifically the Jeremiah chapter 6. But then we see in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, what Jeremiah is going to say next is life-altering. What he's going to deliver to them is life-changing. Again, this whole chapter, verses 1 through 15, up to this point is destruction's coming, disaster's coming from the north. They're going to wipe you out. But you know, God doesn't just tell them that and it's a message of doom and you're just going to be cast away. No, he's going to tell them what they need to do and how they need to live. And so let's look at Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And I want to break this verse up into three parts. And first, what we need to do is we need to seek wisdom. Begin reading with me in Jeremiah 6, verse 16. It says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look, and ask for the ancient paths." And this is the situation that we find the people in. They are at a crossroads. And this was the best picture that I could find of a crossroads. I think we all understand that. Some of your translations may actually use that exact phrase, that they are at the crossroads. They are at the roads, meaning they have a decision on how they are going to live their lives. Who are they going to serve? Is it going to continue to be the other nations and the idols? Or are they going to serve God? And this verse describes someone who is lost, trying to find their direction. Stand by the roads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Where am I supposed to go? I remember the days when my family would go on vacations when I was growing up and when I was younger. And we don't have too many millennials here and young people, but we didn't have our phones. We didn't have GPS at that time. So we would have to use this thing called MapQuest. And we'd have to print out the directions beforehand. And even before that, my dad would always buy a big atlas, and we would have to use an actual map. And it was rather difficult when you were in, per se, Atlanta, and you got lost when you're from Omaha, Nebraska. Not fun. And it reminds me of this passage, someone who's lost, looking, trying to find the path that they're supposed to be on. And truly, the people of God, Israel, that was supposed to be God's people, they are lost at this point. They are in desperate need of the ancient paths. In that phrase, ancient paths, in Hebrew, it's a phrase that is connected with the word for wisdom. So meaning when they were lost and they're looking for the ancient ways, what they're trying to find is wisdom. Seek wisdom. Seek the old ways that people used to walk. And so when we see that phrase, ancient paths, it's speaking that the people find the old way of wisdom. And this isn't the way that someone looks back in their glory days, you know, boasting, "Oh, I remember the good old days. I remember back when so we had to walk 5 miles uphill both ways to school." No, it's not referring back to the glory days of one person. But what it is these ancient ways. The way of wisdom is referring back to walking righteously like men like David. Walk like Abraham, like Enoch, men who feared God and served Him. That's what this ancient way, this way of wisdom, is what they're supposed to be looking for in their life. But the people, they don't walk this way. They're not seeking wisdom in their life. In Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 15 is a verse that shows us that. And we're just going to highlight some major verses from the book of Jeremiah. But I rest assuredly, this will not be the last sermon you hear me preach from the book of Jeremiah. I love the book of Jeremiah. There are so many lessons from it. But in Jeremiah 18 and verse 15, what we see is he says, "But my people have forgotten me. They make offerings to false gods. They made them stumble in their ways in the ancient roads, and to walk into side roads, not the highway." So here's an instance of how the people were walking. They were in those ancient ways, the way of wisdom. They were once walking like David. They were fearing the Lord and serving Him. But then what happened? Well, they got off that way. They started to walk the side roads and taking these mysterious paths that lead them away from God. And truly, they have departed from wisdom. So how do we seek wisdom? Well, thankfully, the text shows us in Jeremiah 6 and 16 when it says, look, ask. We have to be an observant people when it comes to finding and seeking wisdom in our life. You know, maybe you're younger, though. Maybe you're a young preacher and you look out on the life ahead of you and evangelizing and you don't have much experience. Do you know someone like that? Maybe David, maybe people like Derek, Eric, us younger people. Maybe we don't have the experience that some who are older have. Well, do we see what the text tells us? Ask. Look. Learn from the examples of those who know what it's like to serve God and how to walk in wisdom. Learn. But the ultimate source of wisdom that we need to go to is what? The Word of God. What a tool that we have in front of us. And notice in Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, they're not called to seek new teachings. God doesn't want them to develop a new way of serving Him, a new system, these new teachings. No, go back to the old ways. Go back to Mount Sinai, the law that I established. Go back to the Word of God. And again, what a message that is for us today. That we don't need to reinvent the wheel and reinvent ways to serve God. We need to go back to His Word when it comes to serving Him and seeking wisdom. For the people of Jeremiah 6, seeking wisdom, what it meant for them was listening to what Jeremiah said. You know, not everyone in the context of Jeremiah 6, they can't just look back in their copy of the Old Testament and go back to Leviticus and see how they're supposed to live. No, what it means for them is they need to listen to Jeremiah. They have a prophet of God in their midst, and they need to listen to him. But what does that mean for us today? How are we to seek wisdom? Well, we have the Word of God. Thankfully, it is the most common book in the world. Although rumor has it the Quran is sneaking up on it. But the Bible has the most copies made. There is so many ways, easy ways to have a Bible in front of us. And we need to seek it out. We need to look into it. Break open the Word of God and see what it has to tell, to say for us, and how we can seek wisdom in our lives. But we can't be afraid to ask for wisdom as well. You know, maybe we come across something that we're not sure what we're supposed to do. Maybe that's a time to ask our parents, to ask our elders, to ask those who have that wisdom. But ultimately, when we come across something we're not sure about, we need to consult the Word of God. Because the people of Jeremiah, when they came across something that they weren't sure about, what did they consult? If it feels good, it looks good, it must be good. And they just went with it. And that's why destruction is coming upon them. But we need to understand in our lives that maybe we don't have wisdom. We need to ask God for that. James 1 and verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." If you find yourself looking at your life and you're trying to seek wisdom, but you know what? You feel like you're coming up short, that you're not able to walk wisely and how God will want you to, ask God for help. Go to Him. Ask for wisdom in your life. Hopefully that's a prayer that all of us are praying. Not just the young, not just the old, all of us praying for wisdom constantly. Because we need to understand that we're in a crossroads as well. Remember that picture of the different paths going off. You're at a crossroads every morning when you wake up. How are you going to live your life? Who are you going to serve? Are you going to seek wisdom? And that's how Jeremiah starts in Jeremiah 6:16, telling them first, stand by the roads. Look, ask for the ancient paths. Seek wisdom. And second, Jeremiah will go on to say, from the Lord as he is speaking, walk in the good way. And again, what I have on the PowerPoint is just summarizing the text. But Jeremiah 6 and 16, continue reading, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it." They're not encouraged to just walk in any path that they choose. You know, they're at the crossroads, you got the three paths in front of them. They're not told to, you know, roll the dice and pick whichever one sounds good. No. Which way are they supposed to pick? The good way. There's a decision that must be made in how they are going to walk. And it's difficult. Maybe you've noticed this in your life. It's difficult to find something that is truly good. Anything that is truly good is difficult and hard to obtain. For instance, you want to find a good deal on a used car. That's going to be a difficult process. You did a lot of research trying to figure out how many accidents has this thing been into. Or maybe you want to find a good home, a home that is a good fit for you. As recent home buyers, that's a long process, a stressful process. Or maybe you're trying to find a good wife. That is a very difficult process. Or maybe luck happens to you like it did for me. But Proverbs 31:10, it does it not say, who can find a virtuous wife? Or some translations, an excellent wife, or others may say, a good wife. Things that are difficult, things that are truly good are difficult to find. And in Jeremiah chapter 6, finding and walking in this good way that Jeremiah is describing is going to be a difficult task. If finding the good way was easy, wouldn't everyone already be on it? If serving God was easy, everyone would be doing it. And that's why Christ talks about this same idea in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew 7, Christ says this, beginning in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Walking in the good path, the path that leads to righteousness and eternal life, it's difficult. It's not going to be an easy choice. It's not going to be the path that you just accidentally find yourself on. It's a path that must be sought after. You know, we as God's people need to be a people that always consider our steps. How are we walking? Which path are we on? In Proverbs 4 and 26 is a passage that says, ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Ponder the path that you're on. How are you walking? Do you know what's in front of you? Which path are you on? Are you serving the Lord? Are you walking in that good way? I remember one afternoon when I was running. It was a rainy day. This wasn't here in Florida. It was up in Arkansas, but it was just got done raining. It was storming, and the sun came out, and it was a beautiful afternoon for a run, so I went out, and I went running. And while I was out running on a nice cement path, I saw something move, and then I saw a bunch of things move, and I got pretty scared because there were a bunch of water moccasins everywhere. And water moccasins, yes, are poisonous, and they came out of the rocks. It was in underneath an underpass over the interstate was going above, and the sidewalk went underneath it, and they were coming out of the rocks and jumping down into the water. How do you think my steps were after that? I considered every step that I took. I watched where my foot was going, making sure I was as far away from those things as I could. Do we have that same consciousness in our lives regarding sin and the path that we're on? Understanding that Satan is always out trying to trip us up, trying to make sure that we wander off the path, taking those mysterious byroads, those highways. Do we consider the steps that we take? Consider the path that we are on? Because how we walk is very important. Walking in this good way. And walking shows a manner of life. Walk has a direct meaning, more as behave like this, or conduct yourself in this manner. For instance, in Ephesians 4:17, where Paul says, no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. It's a way of saying, don't act like the Gentiles do. Don't behave like them. Don't walk like they do. And so what God wants his people to do in Jeremiah chapter 6 is walk or conduct themselves in line with what? Well, the good way, the path that they need to be on. And for the people of Jeremiah 6, what that meant was to stop serving the other nations, stop serving the idols that you've made for yourself, and start fearing and respecting the Lord. That meant that they need to go back to the law of Moses, remembering those blessings and curses of the covenant, because obviously they forgot the curses. Because if they remembered what those curses were, if they abandoned the Lord and stopped being His chosen people, Jeremiah wouldn't have to be preaching right now. Because if only they realized the full effect of what was coming, oh, they would have turned right around. But what does that mean for us? How do we today walk in the good way? Well, we must walk as children of light, not children of darkness. We need to bear the fruit of the Spirit, as Galatians 5, 20 through 24 talks about. We don't walk in the lust of the flesh. That's how the old man of sin walked, a man who wasn't considering his steps. But the new man, he bears fruit in his life. We need to be faithful to the commands of Christ and that the New Testament and the examples that we have for us, following the pattern that the New Testament lays out for us. But again, remember, walking in this good way is not easy. If it were easy, everyone would be doing it. Remember Jeremiah 6, 13 through 15, the passage we read earlier. The people didn't even know how to blush when they committed a sin. They were hardened by the sin in their life. In making a change, to walk in the path of righteousness, to walk in that good way, was going to require a major life change. And maybe there are some here tonight who you have struggles in your life. You have a battle right now. You're at that crossroads and you know what? You're not walking that good way. Well, here's a wake-up call from Jeremiah. You need the change. And it's not going to be comforting. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. As a people that were hardened by sin, they weren't able to change. But are we going to be able to change from the sin in our life? Because what Christ requires out of us is a radical call. In Luke 9, 24, Christ says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Walking on that good way requires us to make sacrifices, to exercise self-control and give up things that we want in our life, and to serve God with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. But when we find ourselves seeking wisdom and walking in that good way, what we find is rest for the soul. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, it says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient path where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your soul." You walk in that good way and you're seeking wisdom throughout your life, as difficult as it may be and as tired as you may get, know that there is rest waiting for you on the horizon. In Colorado this past summer, I was hiking with my aunt and uncle, and they are experienced hikers. And Colorado Springs is at 7,000 feet elevation. When you get up closer to the mountains, it's at 9,000 feet. So when you come from somewhere that's not that high in elevation, the first couple days are hard enough to breathe just going up like stairs. And so hiking up a side of a mountain with my aunt and uncle was so difficult. And they're experienced pros, and they were practically running up this thing. And I'm starting to get lightheaded, and you want to know what I started longing for? When they could say, "All right, we're high enough, let's turn around. Well, we can rest now." Oh, I was longing for that rest. It was tiring. Walking up that mountain, as steep as it may be. But you know, rest makes it a whole lot easier to get through those tiring times when you know what's waiting for us. And on our Christian walks, you know, we need to remember the rest that awaits us if we continue to walk in that good way and walk as God would have us to. Because we see what the end result is, and that's rest for the soul. Hopefully that sounds familiar, because that's what Christ talked about in Matthew 11. Matthew 11, turn with me there. Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30, it says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is lie. What Christ is promising is rest. Rest to those who come and take the yoke of Christ. But if you notice that passage closely, what does that mean? Well, that we're still going to have to wear a yoke? We're still going to have to be under bondage? Well, that doesn't sound like rest. But when you compare the options, you know, what's the bondage of Christ lead to? We call it bondage, but that maybe seems harsh under today's world and what we think of the word bondage, but it leads to eternal life. But if we're under the bondage of slavery, what does that lead to? Well, that's eternal death. That's torment in hell. You know, Proverbs 19 and verse 23 says, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm." I mean, what a comforting proverb that is, that we need to have in our minds at all times. Although life may be rough right now, although trying to seek wisdom every day and making sure that we're walking in that good way and maybe making changes in our life that keep us necessary to follow the Word of God, it may be tough, but realize one day rest is going to come. Rest will be enough with God. Have you ever laid down for a nap? Maybe this happened to you this afternoon. You laid down for a nap, and when you woke up, you felt more tired than you did when you took the nap. You wake up feeling even worse than before. That's not what it's going to be like in heaven. That's not going to be what the rest that God has prepared for us. It's not going to leave us wanting more. The rest that God has prepared for us will leave us, as Proverbs says, satisfied. It is complete. It is enough. And for the people of Jeremiah chapter 6, the rest that they were seeking was what? What rest do the people of Jeremiah 6 want, even though they don't even realize what's coming? Well, what they want, despite if they listen to it or not, is to escape the destruction from the Babylonians. If only they knew that the curses of the covenant were about to be unleashed on them in a way that they could hardly fathom, what they're longing for is rest, to get away, to escape that destruction. But for the people of God today under the New Testament, what is the rest that we are seeking? Well, that's heaven. To be at fellowship with God. And also to avoid the punishment of hell to those who do not render obedience to Christ. And that is why we must give so much diligence to the Word of God and make sure that we understand how to live. You know, are we seeking wisdom? Do we go to the Bible for the answers in our life? Are we sure that we're walking the straight and narrow? And do we bear fruit in our life that shows that we are walking the way Christ would have us to? But again, in the midst of a message of doom and destruction that Jeremiah chapter 6 is, warning them that destruction's coming, what do we see in verse 16? Yes, we see a little simple passage that tells us how to live. I mean, some texts, I've said this before, just preach themselves. This is one of it. Seek wisdom. Walk the good path, and what do you get? You find rest. But we see the love and mercy of our Lord. That He doesn't want His people to be destroyed. That He's trying to get them to repent. If you would just turn, I will spare you. We need to make sure that we are hearing that message today. But, as you've probably seen in your Bible, there's more to Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. I don't have a fancy point for it on the PowerPoint, so I apologize. That's all right. Because it's a short one and one that I think we can all understand. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it, and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." Three times from Jeremiah 6:16 through 19, what we see is the people saying that they will not listen, that they will not hear and they will not acknowledge God's message. And what a sad, sad message that is for us. But it's one that we need to understand that today, despite going out and delivering the word of God to people, that some people, they're not going to hear. But you want to know what's going to happen to those who reject the word of God and don't listen and don't repent and turn from the sins in their life? Continue reading. Verse 17 says, I set watchmen over you, saying, pay attention to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not pay attention. Therefore, hear, O nations, and know, O congregation, what will happen to them. Hear, O earth, behold, I am bringing disaster upon this people, the fruit of their devices, because they have not paid attention to my words, and as for my law, they have rejected it. You want to know what's going to happen to those people that reject the word of the Lord? Disaster. That's exactly what Jeremiah describes it as, and that's exactly what hell is described as in the New Testament. A place of endless suffering and torment, a place of disaster. And so a question we all need to take a deep look inside ourselves and ask is, how are we living? How are we going to live? Again, each morning we wake up, we are at a crossroads. Are we going to serve the Lord today, or are we going to serve our flesh and our wants and our desires? But we need to be a people that pay attention to the word of God and heed its warnings. Because as Jeremiah chapter 6, and really the whole book paints for us, if you don't repent, if you don't turn to the Lord with a whole heart, disaster is going to come. And so we all need to consider our steps and ask ourselves, how are we living? And maybe there are some here tonight who, as you consider your steps, you consider the path that you are on, you realize that you're not doing so well. And you need the prayers of the brethren here. We'd be more than happy to pray with you and help you get back on that good way. Or maybe there are some here tonight who have yet to begin your walk with Christ. You're yet to believe that He is the Son of God and put your faith and your trust in Him and make that confession. Repent of your sins and be baptized into the name of Christ. If you're ready to do that, we would be more than happy to assist you. We can help you in any way. Please don't hesitate to come forward as we stand and sing the song selected.